Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a Trent presentation from November 2017. Miss Nora Kühner, independent fashion and design consultant, presents Product Development in Deadlock.
So thanks for coming late in the afternoon. It's the last presentation for today. And I promise it's also my last one, because tomorrow I will only do a guided tour. So no more attacks from my side. when I proposed the topic to the management of the trade fair, they told me, we like the topic, it has to be in the show, and we think it's a good end of the day and might stimulate some discussions for the get-together, which will start, I think, at 5:30 or 6 around. I'm not quite... the topic, product development in deadlock. You know that I'm also working as a designer, though I have reduced this already 10 years ago, or more than 10 years ago, and have more focused on trend and color consulting, on developing concepts for collections, doing advice also to young designers, to upcoming designers. And because I was just one day at ISPO show in winter, I still remember the day, I thought, it's just too boring. I don't want to do it any longer. Always same, only different color, and same, and always lost value, so that it's only a struggle for the cheapest price, mainly, which we are facing, and also the timelines, the pressure, developing. I make a big question mark to this, because what we do is not developing. Most of us during the last years, we have not been developing and not innovating. We are makers, we do, but as I have seen just with some projects in the last time, which I have a pleasure to join, development needs time. Time we never have in usual schedule of our years, of our work years. And you have to rethink. You have also to try and experiment. You have to fall flat on your knees. For example, I'm now in a small project with an open end. We don't know whether we will really realize something which we can hardly imagine. But we want to try, and it's open discussion and open end. And this is something stunning I haven't experienced for, I think, more than 15 years. So, but lately, but I still love my profession, and I would become a designer every day again. But I think, I get the feeling that more and more we have to change. And we also have a phase of a profile of our profession as product developers and designers is changing, and also with the work of a development department. As said, sameness, lost value, pressure, the struggle for cheapest price. I really have the impression we are in a downward spiral, because when I read retail magazines, when I read textile magazines, when I read in certain blogs and things like this, it's still from the retail side, still the struggle for cheap prices. They cannot imagine to get the customer into their shops or on their online portals without having a cheap price. It's my impression, and I'm not the only one. Due to many, many discussions throughout the last years, especially here at Performance Days, we are a bigger community. I know a lot of my visitors or my attendees of lectures, and we always have more or less the same discussions, complaining about the circumstances and also about the outcome of our work, which is for most of designers I'm talking to, not what they would really want. So I thought, okay, the downward spiral, it couldn't be even worse, But when in this summer some messages hit me, and I thought, okay, it can get even worse than I imagined. I thought we were really pretty close down, or already below zero. It's not about this collection or whatever, but the fact that somebody like Lidl is coming up with a collection of clothing. And then this idea of the endless aisles gives you illusion that you are like in an online shop where you can have endless possibilities of shopping, of selection. And in retail, this is just at the moment a really big story to have to stimulate endless aisles so that it's really comparable to the offer of a shop in online. Okay, this was number one. Then. Pearl spouting vending machines. Okay, this might be pragmatic for last minute. I need maybe a scarf or so when I'm flying to Alaska and wasn't aware that I would fly to Alaska. So this is quite nice. Or something gets rotten throughout my trip. But is this desirable? Today we are talking, especially in marketing and retail, there's a lot of talking about emotion and that we have to give experiences to the customer, otherwise he won't enter our shop and otherwise he won't buy. So, but what kind of experience is that? And why do we wonder that this is lost value? Because if a machine spouting clothing, it's not an experience or a unique experience which you need once and never ever again, I guess. And we, by the way, we had here in Munich for 5 or 6 years ago, two young designers started something called Unikat. It's not, and they promised to sell through such a vending machine single pieces of basic clothing. This machine stands somewhere, okay, our central station is not very nice, but it's in somewhere in a dark corner and I don't even see any time somebody there. It's just rather lost. And then the next thing which hit me, Amazon has developed an AE fashion designer. And they're already working on patents for that. It was the first workshop which we did together with MIT Technology Lab. And the construction, the thing is all at the moment already, it's in this chip. They just make it a little bit, they humanize it, that it looks a little bit nicer to us, that we get not frightened. And it's rather raw, the concept still. But nevertheless, it's there, and it hints at the perspectives of our job or of our work. I'm not speaking for designers as a profession. I'm speaking for developing things, design, imagination, visualization, so on. So, and the next thing, of course, Amazon. Everybody frightened by because Amazon for sure does a good job, and now we also do clothing, and they promote it quite well. The shooting, they have set up a professional shooting studio. They can shoot a photo every second in 2 minutes. Every 2 minutes, they shoot another garment. It's all done. It's all installed, and so they are working like this. And the next thing is the apparel sourcing caravans. Next stop, digitization. McKinsey Apparel to 2017. So, 2017, digitalization or digitization has already started some years ago. What does it mean? We are still in the very beginning. If somebody like McKinsey is coming up with a study today and just discovers or reveals what we are, where we are standing and where we have to go to. I think I was thinking, and I believe that we were always the ones, especially in sports, which have to think. We have to think 2 years ahead of our time, and so I cannot understand why we still that our next stop is digitization. I think the process has already started. We are in between, we are maybe at the beginning, but it started already. So, but there are some other things which made me think about our way of working, of our way of doing collection, of doing our job in the sector. I was, as I mentioned this morning already, was in the US and Portland, for example, and Vancouver, and millennials do it themselves. This is something you can also easily see here in Europe. In many countries, we have a lot of young startups, people who define a certain need for maybe a niche project for product, and they do it themselves. Or we don't find, I just had this morning a young guy at my booth downstairs. He said, I was looking for something, I couldn't get it, and now I want to do it myself. And there are lots of these people. My husband experienced the best coffee ever he got in Portland. He was fascinated, especially after 2 weeks of getting poor quality coffee. And this was a micro coffee shop with a young lady brewing herself, first roasting the beans, then then brewing the coffee by hand and in a special vase or something like this. I don't know. It was really a complicated thing. I got my tea within 2 minutes, and my husband needed to wait 10 minutes or so for his coffee. But it was worth everything, and it didn't cost more than $5. So he was really super happy. So, and also, you can, of course, buy tons of books right now. How to design your own fashion collection. Another favorite of mine is also how to do clothing without pattern. That's great. Especially my colleague Cornelia will like this. She's a pattern maker, a very experienced one, and I think you will think this is a super thing. So I think all these things, what we see here, or what I tell you about, is that one hand side is for sure that young people, after all, they have grown up with all these computers, with games and things like this. They are used to screens, and now they discover, or they feel the need to discover something new, something with a hands-on approach. Already there is a little bit the fascination of discovering new techniques, new technology, is a little bit broken by the the desire or the feeling that you really need something different. And of course, like this young guy this morning, they see an overabundance of products, but they still don't find what they want. Of course, you can say there are. We spoke about that later on. Of course, there are things like what a lot of people describe and why we start up. Nevertheless, there is a growing, I would say, awareness that mass products don't fill their needs or fulfill their needs, and that they don't want to look through endless aisles or through endless shopping portals to find with special purse, with special bag, with special T-shirt, which might be the one and only, and which might accompany them for longer. So, yes, so my question was, is design still relevant? I am not quite sure on how far we are relevant. I think a lot of what we have been doing throughout the last years is not very relevant in the sense that it's worth being gathered in a museum or just be in an archive of showing what our times have produced. But on the other hand side, ever more computing capabilities, ever more big data, small data, whatever data, shoppable screens, endless aisles. I really tried to catch the right wording in English, what it's all about. And smart mirrors are not the answer. This is not what we as human beings really expect. And this is what I think is really this do-it-yourself period right now, or this joy and rediscovery of doing things yourself. Even like doing the sewing here. If you see this, I think here, somebody, a younger man with all these tattoos, he is doing something for himself, and he likes to do it, or for maybe a special customer. But he gives value to this product he is producing, because he takes his time to work out something like this. He takes his time. Time is the most expensive thing for all of us, the most important topic. Because time never comes back, and our time is will end someday. And so an appreciation for the product, an appreciation for the working process, an appreciation for thinking about an idea and how to realize it. I think this is something we are really missing. So here you see these smart mirrors and shoppable screens. Of course, these are all helpful tools. But on the other hand side, ever more screens are really not the solution, because I have screens at home. I have screens with me. You have always your smartphone with you or your pet, and you have screens enough around you. So screens alone will not bring people to your shop or to buy your product or to buy this jacket. So because this is something which is not a unique experience. But on the other hand side, what is a unique experience? Of course, and there are everybody, every marketing guy, every storyteller, every retailer says now, emotion is it. So screens, computing capabilities, etc., I dare to say, it's a dead end. And we are blocked in our structures, in our super complex supply chain, which doesn't allow to move in new ways. It's hard to change the system, I know. But the system is not working any longer, and we have to find new ways to move forward and to develop and to adapt things to the new times and to new needs. And maybe we have to turn the whole thing upside down. So I already showed this in April, I think, but it's still true. By being rational, and at the moment we are really super rational, because we measure all in numbers. We follow numbers. We follow data, and data. They are just big numbers, and they make us sterile, like this leading French industrial designer from the designer of TGV, for example, has designed the TGV. So, and a super nice example for what a career which might have been very, very successful, as the young lady has worked for Apple, built up iTunes and the App Store. But she's not the only one to leave this industry of virtuality and of virtual products. She switched her career like this. For 1 year, 365 days, she did a new knot every day. She tried to figure out, is it possible to produce every day a new knot? So, and you can also have a look at that in the internet. It's there with all 365 knots every day. So how desperate might have been the situation of this young lady that she spent her day with figuring out that a knot. They are beautiful, I guess, but okay. So once there was this saying, I shop wherefore I am. For sure, this is not true any longer. Nevertheless, it's a good quote, and it refers to the fact that mainly fashion and clothing have been once, and for many people are still today, younger ones, and also emotional purchase. You don't need it, but you like it. and you buy it, and you're attracted by the color, you like the fitting. So a lot of emotions and things together. Oh, you don't like it, and therefore you don't buy it, and it's not comfortable to wear. So you say, okay, no, it's I never will buy from this brand again because I don't like the product. So there's a lot of talking, therefore, today about customer centricity. Emotion, unique experiences, and added services are key to attract the customer, which is the story right now which the people are telling us. So, yeah, like here, this is a has been a pop-up installation, a staircase just up on the, to the rooftop of this building, and then you get down again. So nothing special, nothing sensational, but people walked up and down and enjoyed. And the best sentence in, because I think what we are missing, or what I am missing, is also talking about the product. The product is not important anymore, seems to be, in all this marketing. And the highlight of this development is the sentence from this think tank in Switzerland. Today, it's not products that win customers over, but services. And I think really. But what about the product? And what about the ones who give look and shape to products? So, can we go at home? Is it finished? Why do we have so many schools educating students all over the world for design, for becoming a designer in textiles, in fashion? If the product doesn't matter any longer. That's why I want to mention the masterclass, which is a project I do with students at ISPO. We have our third edition in January 2018, and working with these young students is really interesting. After being for such a long time in the sector, it's really interesting to see with what knowledge they arrive, with which expectations, and about the capabilities. And I have to admit, that this is really stunning that there is so few knowledge about current developments in fabrics and current developments in technology. So I think also here you see what before the McKinsey report stated for our sector, that we are not yet really working or thinking about what digitization will do about our branch, or our sector, sorry, our industry. What does it mean for our work? So, and when we work with the students, and you see here, I selected this picture because it shows all the facets. So one comes up with watercolors, and the other works only on the screen. But that's it, no more knowledge. So, and what we want to do is to expand the knowledge of sports and to bring them to show them that a designer today has more to learn and has more to be able to deliver or to provide for his boss or for his company, for his brand he's working for, than just imagination and some graphic skills or so. Yeah, it's we really have to discuss the profile of developing or doing product development in the 21st century. We have to work transdisciplinary. By the way, we did something like this this model before because we had just to experiment for the pattern. It was just. We had to experiment because no one of the young designers had ever done something like this, and so we didn't feel, and we had to give them the feeling for how this thing has to be developed. And we just discussed with somebody this afternoon that the young designers coming from schools or only with 1 year of experience or so, that they really lack the fact of how can you transform a sketch to a real style, which feels good, But this is also an alienation which has happened throughout all the last years, that we designers don't see anything of a development process. We do sketches, we deliver them to the producer in Far East somewhere, and then we get something back, and we don't have the slightest idea of how this thing has been put together, and we cannot change a lot because either it fits or it at first glance or it fits not, and then you don't have the time to develop it further usually because you are under pressure, and it's not foreseen in our schedules. So, for example, here, this was also a stunning thing. There's a lot of talking about gender-neutral clothing in the future, and there are discussions about gender-neutral restrooms and things like this, especially in the US, where I just have been. What happened was that some people from the industry, they say, okay, Masterclass has to tackle what new ideas for our styles, for our collections. But then what came up was only the usual thing, just same, but done by young students. But with one group, I said, no, I want to have something about hybrid identities, about genderless clothing. What does it mean? It's not unisex to make unisex patterns. It's just, it will change a whole way of thinking about a collection, about a product, if we really think genderless as something which is also influencing the way we wear clothing, the way we judge clothing. If somebody wears a certain color, a man color in I don't know, in pink, it's not. This doesn't make any statement about this man. Neither so in this way or that way. So it's just gender neutral, okay? So what we did, and this was really hard for the students. It was really hard. They had no idea how to start it. But in the end, they came up with something which is also functional, but from their way of seeing the thing. They said, what we need in our world, we need something which keeps us warm at an outdoor concert. She liked it very much in a more mundane way to dress up. So we wanted something which is adaptable to different situations, which can accompany them. Like in the presentation before, when the Studio 4 Options showed a trailer of a film from Patagonia, where people bring their beloved clothing to repair shops. Yeah, so also these young guys here, they want to have things which they love, which they want to be accompanied by, and so this is also changing the way in which you shop. Yeah, and we have to pay attention to this. So, and if you might ask, what is this? I think this is a basic qualification to be a designer. This triangle. So, and I'm really, I don't understand why brands now renounce very often to all these basic qualities, which are the key to really develop products for people, which will fit the brand, which will fit the customer, which will fit the image. We are trained on, we have knowledge about how to work with fabric, how to work on patterns, and et cetera, we have empathy, we can develop a feeling for our customer, we have creativity, imagination, and co-creation. It's quite nice. I saw a shop from Reebok in Boston where we try to individualize and to co-create. It's okay, and it's individual, but I think this saying is more than true. Yeah, if Henry Ford would have asked the people, what do you want, a really fast horse or a car, they wouldn't have opted for the car, because nobody could imagine it. So this is all really about, it's also a product development, it's about imagination and looking further and having a feeling for what is coming up and for the perspectives. So co-creation, yes, we can, and maybe in the future designers are more also curators for really collaborating with some customers for developing really the collection of, I think we will have to be open for such collaborations. But it's also the result that we have, so to say, we have professional knowledge and we can curate, we can accompany someone, and we can transform the ideas of the co-creators into really makeable, producible products. So this is for sure a new role, which we have. Because customization and individualization, there's a lot of talking and a lot of buzz around this word, these words, but at the moment it's not feasible with big numbers. So for sure we cannot produce from one day to the other, we cannot turn, and not even in 5 years we will be able to turn from mass production to pure individualization. This is not a way. It's nice to have, and it for sure will grow, and there have to be ideas for doing also shops in our cities if we want. For example, this is something which would be really worth practicing in the inner cities, where if the shops are left, we can also open up individualization hubs or something like this. Some retailers together can afford such a space or something like this. So there are a lot of ideas, but we have to really open up our mind and develop according to the needs of the people. And still, even for something like this here, for the Knit for You, a pop-up store in Berlin by Adidas, there has to be a designer before who fixes a certain style or a certain pattern. At least the program has, the basic thing has to be given. So this is also something where you really still need a designer and not an algorithm. And therefore, what we need to be creative in the future, I think, and is that our value chain, because this is something I always hear from designers and I experience it myself. But the designer is the one in the beginning, and then he is kicked off more or less because it's not his responsibility, and the marketing people and the distribution people and the sales people know all better what the market needs. So if we don't learn to collaborate also or in between different departments in a company, and to develop a value chain network that we exchange across the departments and that we collaborate transdisciplinary together, we won't be successful in the future. Once again, a nice saying, if you always do what you have always done, you'll always get what you have always got. So it's the time to break this. Yeah, really break what you have done and break it radically. Transdisciplinary collaboration also with suppliers and researchers. It's not enough today as a designer to go around a fair and just to see, oh, you have something new, or ask, do you have something new? And then say, okay, here's something new. But then in the end, we have to really develop something which fits with newness, the style, because maybe this fabric, which is completely new or which is new in different aspects, needs another fitting, needs another sewing, needs another pattern style. It's really to look on the fabric and to try and experiment and not only take it because it's new. And by this, and therefore, we have to work together, we have to relearn it, to work together with our researchers and suppliers. Creating new value for our products is for sure would be the result if we learn to do that, because our products are the most close to people. It's our second skin, and I think still today everybody loves his everybody is in love with himself, selfie generation, so we posing. So so the clothing really is of an emotional value, has an emotional value, and it's close to the body as long as we are no cyborgs. So, but one thing is really super important too, reduced and clearly focused product ranges. Nobody needs 100 variations of the same protective jacket in one collection. This is nonsense, and if it looks like one your competitor or your other companies do, it's also nonsense. It's just we have to become careful with our resources. I don't want to repeat what a lot of people have said about sustainability already today, but it's really true. We need responsibility for the planet, for future generation, and sustainability. And for and therefore responsibility, this is something this frightens me, building a better human machine through sensors, through everything electronic devices and things like this. If this is the idea of developing sports further, I think it's really important to discuss, and this is also a topic of a brand and a designer, to ask ethic questions. Are we really allowed to do everything we want? Do we want to control people with some sensors? This is something is also, so we are really forced to think about what we are doing. We cannot just reproduce and make and copy and things like this. We really have to ask ourselves, is it really good what I am doing, and is it for the benefit of my customer? I think for sure ethics are really important. And sustainability, I've shown this picture before, it accompanies me, and I was at the University of Oregon just lately talking to the students. Really for the young generation, sustainability is really now a topic. It's not something an add-on or so, it just interests them what will develop throughout my lifetime, and I want also to have a great time. So, and what are these old guys leaving to me? So this is really important to them. It has become more, it's a part of their life, and they ask questions about sustainability. And they want to do something again. And like this project, I like very much the saying, there is no such thing as waste, just stuff in the wrong place. So fits also what before in the presentation of Studio for Option came, was shown. Yeah, the waste of someone is the product for the future product for someone else. It's not us to say what is waste. It can also be really interesting. And this is a project which done by the University of Brighton, to young students built this house. With 85% of waste. That's 85% is waste, and about 300 students were involved in this construction and layout. I think it's a good example that waste is not something shitty which you can throw away. It's also something which can come up with a new, bright new appeal, which is really nice to see. So in this sense, warm up, not warm up shown in the trend forum. It's another way of warming up and unleash creativity, and be sure that visionaries never go out of style. So this is why I hope you will have enough ideas. I think we are all more than qualified for having new ideas, for good ideas, and for doing the best to come up with wonderful products which don't harm the earth any longer, or at least less than today. And if you have any questions, I would invite you to discuss. I'm very happy that you have come, and I enjoyed talking to you. So any questions or any comments? Or thank you, it was a pleasure. And yes, I think it's really astonishing what is possible today. And I think really that we live in interesting, very highly interesting times, and there is room for so much new ideas, but we have to live with safe way of handling things. And I think our biggest problem is the way that we have established what has been established as this production line, as this supply chain. This is really, it's hard to make a circular economy or something like this chain. This is really, I think, this is something we have to tackle and tackle seriously. And but also to tell more emotional stories to our customers and not only driven by numbers. It's not the way. If a majority of people will decide one day that it's great to be a cyborg, if artificial intelligence can take over, it's okay. But at first we have to discuss whether we are all of the same opinion, or maybe there's another way of living and working in the 21st century. Thanks, and yeah, my best wishes. Have lots of success.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to performancedays.com. Copyright November 2017 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.